had the other day, Gary. Up there yesterday. Gary had to get up there twice.
Brother Philip Johnson used to say, when I preach, I get hot. When I try to preach, I get hotter. And I certainly feel a kinship to that. So.
You said you forgot something. I was hoping it was your watch.
It was my watch. No. Well, no, I didn't. I have that, brother. I sure need your prayers tonight. Very thankful for the sweet prayer that's already been offered, and we just thank God for being able to be here, and we thank God for all of His blessings, and just please pray for me as we look together for just a little while at the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to call your attention tonight to the first chapter of the book of Romans, and this chapter has been on my mind all week, and made a couple efforts this week, once at the nursing home and then once at down in Providence, out of other times to speak, and have been at this, have come to this chapter. Thought maybe that's what I would talk about this morning, but was led somewhere else. And tonight I'd like to look at this first chapter, just the first half of it. I'll read a lot more than I intend to talk about, but just pray the Lord would guide us to where we're supposed to be and say what we're supposed to say. Beginning in the very first verse of Romans 1, we find who the writer of the book of Romans is, and that's the Apostle Paul. And it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then it tells us who he's writing to. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey, by the will of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you, by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. As we've already said, Paul is the writer of this book, this letter. And it was written to the brethren at Rome. And the brethren at Rome were identified as the beloved of God. It's written to the children of God. And really, we could say that about any part of the Bible. God's Word's not written just to anybody in general, but it's written to the child of God, to the man of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is written to the man of God that he may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, that perfect doesn't mean without sin, without spot, or without blemish. It means complete, which means in the Word of God. As we speak to God's children from the Word of God, as we read and study the Word of God, as we learn from the Word of God, the Bible is that which is our thorough furnisher unto all good works. It truly furnishes us with all that you and I need to know here in this world. God's Word is what we need to know. Now, in order to know that, God has kept His Word. He's given His Word. He has preserved His Word. He has, down through the ages, we've had the Word of God, and we have it to be our guide, to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you and I tonight need the instruction from God's Word to keep our lives from falling apart. In order for that to take place, God has, not because He needed to, but it was according to His own good pleasure, He has used the means of preaching the gospel in order to deliver God's little children, not from death to life, but rather those who've been made alive by the grace of God have the light of the gospel shine in their life through the preaching of the gospel. It's been a great benefit to us as the gospel is declared, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now there's a requirement tonight that we must have in order for the gospel to be of any benefit. And that requirement is faith. Now, I can't give you faith. You can't give me faith. It takes the Lord to give us faith. We know from the Scripture that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. You and I need faith in order to get along in this world. We need faith in order to trust in the Lord. We need faith in order to believe there is a God. In order to come to God, we have to have faith in order to do that. And faith is that which you absolutely need tonight to learn anything from the Bible. If you sit down and read the Bible from cover to cover and all you have is the wisdom of man and the ability that man has, even if you're born as a little child of God, if you're seeking to know the things of the Bible through your intellect, through your natural wisdom, remember that the carnal mind, the natural mind, that's what that means, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Therefore, we cannot know the things of God through the natural means that we learn everything else. If you want to know about something else, you can go to school and learn about it. All you have to do is go to school. If you want to know how to put an engine together and take it apart, there's people that can train you and teach you how to do that, and you can do that, and you can have that. Now, I do believe even the natural abilities come from the Lord, and certain people have more natural ability in those things and others. But even if you don't know anything about some things, you can go pretty much, you don't have to go to school, you can just go on YouTube and look it up, and it'll run you to a place, and if you watch the right video, you can kind of find out something about something enough to get it fixed. I had a light bulb go right in my Toyota, and you look at the back end of that thing and you think, how in the world am I going to get a light bulb in that? And I looked for a place where something would go in and where you could take something apart. I couldn't see anything. So I went online and I found out this, just sitting there looking at it, you kind of find out what's going on. But I'm telling you, the Bible does not work that way. God's Word does not work that way. Learning truth and spiritual things does not work that way. God has ordained the foolishness, what the world would call foolishness. He has ordained that the foolishness of preaching would save them that believe. And there's a salvation there that's not talking about how you get home to heaven. It's a salvation that's talking about how you get delivered here in this time world from all of the troubles and the cares. You and I tonight have a life that's full of all kinds of problems and all kinds of troubles. And we look to one another for answers and we don't have them. And if you look to me for help, you're not going to get any more help than if you look to yourself. Because all I am is just I just have the breath of life in me. And as soon as my breath leaves my body, then I am no help and that would be of no benefit. And you say, well then, why would you make an effort to speak? And why would you make an effort to say anything to God's people tonight? Because I'm not depending upon myself. I'm trusting in the Lord who gives me a work of grace in my heart and gives me the leadership of His Spirit to guide me in His Word to share with you what you stand in need of. And do we not have that? Do we not have that? I need you to listen to me as best you can. And I'm thankful we got a little one running around. I'm really thankful for that. Thankful to the Lord. Thankful for what we've been blessed with. The righteousness of God through the preaching of the gospel is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. And we're looking to the Lord for those things that we stand in need of. Paul said, I'm a debtor. Now, when he said I'm a debtor, he says, I'm obligated to you. I'm obligated to you tonight. I'm obligated to every one of you. I'm obligated to try to make you feel better. I am obligated to try to make you have you be comforted. I am obligated to try to share with you things that will give you instruction in your life. I am obligated to be faithful to God's Word, because if I try to do it on my own, I'm going to tell you things you don't really need to know. But if I go to God's Word and I look at God's Word, I'm telling you, you can live your life by this book. You can build your house by this book. You can raise your family by this book. You can love your wife like you're supposed to by this book. You can love and submit yourself to your husband like you're supposed to by this book. You can be the member of the church that you're supposed to be by this book. You can be, more importantly than anything else, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and live your life to honor and praise and glorify the one who has given you life as you follow the teachings of this book. But if I look to myself to try to give you that, or you look to yourself to try to get it, we'll go out of here empty tonight. But if we look to the Lord, He's able to bless the preacher. By faith, He gives the preacher the ability to declare unto you the things that you need to hear. And every one of those things give honor and glory to Him. And they really point to Him. Tonight we have the peace of God which passes understanding in every one of our lives. We have that not only in our life, but in our hearts. That is, if you're a little child of grace. If you belong to the Lord, and I'm here tonight to tell you, I have evidence tonight to tell you I believe you belong to the Lord. You say, why would you be able to say that, preacher? Well, I saw you singing tonight. You were singing hymns that honor and glorify the Lord. And you even picked out the ones that kind of honor and glorify the Lord. What I love about this little church is we don't even have to know the tune. Somebody will pick it just because they like the words. And that's how we've learned a lot of hymns, because sometimes the words look good, and that's why we pick the hymns. Do you know that's the way it ought to be? We ought to be looking for the words that honor and glorify the Lord. And then we can find a tune to it. And if we don't have a tune, we can just say it. We can do the best we can with it, and we'll be all right. The thing is, when you sing, we sing from our hearts praises unto God. And the words are what important. And what's important is that we're honoring the Lord. Listen, there's a great sovereign God who has all of His children in the palm of His hand. He placed them there Himself. Not only are your names written in His hand, but you are in His hand. And the Bible says, by two immutable things, His counsel and His oath that He has made, we are the children of God. A God who cannot lie and cannot change has made a declaration that He will accomplish all that He purposed to do. And what He purposed to do was to save His people from their sins. And He did that. God loved them. He gave them to the Son. The Son loved them and came and died for them. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our lives and leads us and guides us. What a friend tonight we have in Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever trouble you're in, He is your answer. Isn't that good to be able to say that? A lot of people have all kinds of answers. They say, well, you tell me your problem and I'll give you the answer for your problem. I want to say, I don't even need to know your problem tonight. All I need to tell you is there's an answer. And that answer is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love the Lord, that gives evidence that He first loved you. And if you say, I don't know whether I love Him or not. But do you want to love Him? Would you want to love Him more? Do you desire to know more about Him? That's an evidence that you belong to Him. And He has you. You don't have to hold on to Him, though you should. He's going to hold on to you, and He's promised to do it. And He swore by His own self, because there was none greater for Him to swear by than His own self. And Hebrews 6 tells us, by those two immutable things, the unchangeable God, the immutable God, has His children secure, and you and I can just be patient and wait on the Lord. He's going to take care of things. Paul said, I want to tell you, brethren, at Rome, that. I want to tell you about how it is one day you'll be in heaven. Because there was a God who loved you as His child, And he sent, and he sent his only begotten Son, and the Son came and died for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He preached the gospel to them, and that gospel was, we can read that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we've done that before, but it'll be good to do it again tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us in very plain, simple language what the gospel is. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, I'm declaring unto you, that's what I've declared unto you in the past. And he said this, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now notice where he got that from. He got it from the Scriptures. Now at that time, what we're reading in the New Testament wasn't written, but he had some Scriptures, didn't he? Which was the Old Testament. Do you know the Old Testament declares the same Jesus as the New Testament? Do you know everything in the Old Testament, all the types and the shadows and all the pictures that are there? Isn't it wonderful from time to time when the Lord can bless us and looking at the Old Testament like we did a week ago? We looked at Jacob's ladder for just a little bit. And what did we see in Jacob's ladder? We saw a picture of Jesus. And then one of the brethren this week down there preached about Abraham and Isaac. And what do we see in the picture of Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham was there to take the life of his son, and there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns? What was pictured in that? We see what? We see Jesus. And then one of the brethren picked up a book of Leviticus, and he started to tell us he was going to go through the first chapter of the book of Leviticus. He said, I'm not going through it in detail. And I thought, boy, I'm sure kind of glad for that, because we had six preachers. By the way, you know you're at an old Baptist meeting when you have the announcement for the preacher sound like a baseball lineup. You know you're at an old Baptist meeting. So, you know, you go like, who's going to preach? Well, by the time they got finished, it sounded like we had six. We didn't have nine, but we were pretty close to nine, you know? And this one was going to come, and this one was going to... It was so many, I couldn't remember what order I couldn't remember when I was batting. You know, it was like, I didn't know when my time... I do know this, though. I know those brethren came, not because they wanted to come, in the sense they chose to do it. They didn't come because they chose the Lord. They came because the Lord struck them down somewhere just like the Apostle Paul. And what they didn't want to do, He made them willing to do. And not only willing to do, it was so much so that as much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, if I do this willingly, I have a reward, which means I have a right to some reward. If I'm a volunteer and I've decided on my own to do it, then I deserve some pay for it. But listen, Paul didn't do that. Paul said, but if not willing, a dispensation of the gospel is given to me, which means I am like a steward who has been given charge by a master to take care of something and to do something. God does the calling, and then I am a servant to be responsible to Him. And so then I don't get a reward for it. That's why when we come preaching, we don't come for pay. There was help given to all of the ministers that were there. The Lord blessed that little church to want to help all of them that come. But there wasn't one of those ministers that came because there was going to be something they got out of it. It wasn't about that. And they would have been just as diligent, just as much there if they hadn't gotten a dime, and I'm sure would have come back if they hadn't gotten a dime. The church was blessed to help them along the way, but we don't pay preachers. And like your brother said one time, if you can pay them to preach, you can pay them to stop preaching. You can tell them what to preach. So we are not to be hirelings. We are to preach the truth, and the responsibility comes from the Lord for us to declare that. And yes, it's a blessing for the church to help those ministers along the way. I also believe it's a duty to do that. But I'm telling you, a man who turns that around and says, this is what I get because I preach, or this is what I want in my contract, or make, you know, where we sit down and make a deal, how much will you serve this church for in a year? You won't find that among old Baptists. At least you shouldn't. I don't know of any place that it is. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong not for a church to help and make a decision on what they wanted to do for that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm simply saying that when the man gets to where he's going to preach, when they give him something, and if they don't give him something, he's going to look for other ground. He's got a job. He doesn't have a calling. And the Apostle Paul said, I have a calling. He said, I am a debtor, which meant I'm obligated. Wherever I find God's little children, tonight I believe God's little children have gathered here, and I'm obligated to you. I am a servant. I am obligated to share with you the gospel as best I can, to share with you the truth. And the essence of the truth is that the Lord is in charge and you're not. God is on His throne and I'm not. I can't do anything without Him, but with Him I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right, Brother London? I can do all things. Talked about that going down the road. Made great blessing just listening. It's wonderful just to hear God's little children talk about the good things of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And yes, He is my strength. He's my help. He's my strength. He's my refuge. That's where I run. I hope that's where you're running. I want you to run there. I'm telling you, the doctors of this world can only do so much. Mama can only do so much. Daddy can only do so much. Grandmama and granddaddy, they may try the best they can, but sometimes they mess up. Listen, children, mamas and daddies sometimes mess up. And sometimes children disobey mamas and daddies. But I'm telling you, it's only the Lord that can take us through all the things that we face in this world. And looking to the Lord, we have a help that's sure and steadfast. We have one we can trust in and depend upon. And it's my duty as a minister of the gospel to declare that person to you, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the man, Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's the one who gave His life in our room instead and said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Doesn't that sound good tonight? You got a helper. Now, if you said, this man is my helper, well, you might not have much help. He might be a help and he might not. He might want to do it and he might not. But the Lord said, listen, the Lord said He's my helper, and He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So when will He ever leave us or forsake us? Never. And that means He's not forsaking you tonight. That means He's with you tonight. You feel all alone and you feel hopeless? I want you to know you're not all alone and you're not hopeless, because the Lord said He would never leave you nor forsake you. And you belong to Him, not because you chose Him, but because He chose you. And He's the one who's begun a work in you. And the work He's begun in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He didn't say you won't go through some troubles and some problems. As a matter of fact, as you go through those troubles and problems, doesn't He teach us in the troubles and the problems to wait on Him and trust in Him? You want to start praying. Pray more. You'll pray more when you're in trouble. You'll pray more when you don't know the answer. And let me say this to you. You don't know the answer. And I don't know the answer. He is the answer. And He's real. He's not imaginary. He's not a Santa Claus that we make up in our thoughts. He's not a Disney character that somebody came up with. He's the God who made us. We didn't make a God and create Him in our image. He is the God who created us in His image. And every one of His children, which are, by the way, are an innumerable company out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, He will have with Him in glory. And that's the gospel that I am to declare tonight. And it's because Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now, if Jesus died for our sins, does that mean our sins are paid for? Absolutely. And who did that? Jesus did that. And if He's paid for our sins, will the Lord require anyone else to pay for those sins that they've been paid for? Did the Bible say Jesus will be crucified over and over again? Or does it say He was that high priest who offered Himself once? And by the way, He didn't offer Himself to me. He didn't offer Himself to you. He offered Himself once unto God for His people. He's the high priest who offered Himself once unto God to pay the sin debt for His people, and that sacrifice was accepted, and we have been washed whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. And He says Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and He was buried, but He's not buried today. We don't go worship our Savior at a tomb, do we? I'm glad we don't go. We don't worship a dead Savior. We worship a living Savior. We don't worship a dead God. We worship a living God. That means He lives. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He's there every day whenever I need Him. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'd like to call somebody and talk to them. I do have someone I can talk to, and I encourage you to talk to him all the time. And the more you spend time talking to him, the better you feel, the more peace you'll have in your heart and in your soul, and you belong to him. And he will not let you go. And if we ignore him, he'll love you enough to chasten you. And he will chasten everyone that he loves. That's one of the great evidences that you belong to the Lord when you feel his chastisement. He says, he was buried and he rose again the third day. Oh, isn't that wonderful to think about a Savior who didn't stay in the tomb, he rose again. Mary went to anoint a dead body and she found that he was not there. He had already risen. He had already risen. And he showed himself to her and he showed himself to his disciples and he walked among men. And then he ascended back. They saw him ascend back unto God. And he's seated right now on the right hand of the Father, so that when Brother London prayed tonight, we didn't have to depend on Brother London to get it good enough in order for it to get to heaven. We'd have been in trouble, wouldn't we, if that had been the case? And it wouldn't have mattered whether Brother London prayed or Brother Junior prayed or Brother Jimmy prayed or I prayed or whoever prayed. And no prayer would ever reach heaven. No prayer has ever reached heaven except through the one intercession that's been made, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of him, he hears that little old brother that just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what does that mean? That means tonight you might not feel like you have anybody to talk to. You can talk to him. And he hears our cry. And I have a burden in my heart, and I am a debtor to every one of God's children. And he says, what is this Greeks and barbarians and wise and unwise? It's talking about God's children that are among every people. There's God's children among the Greeks. There's God's children among the barbarians. There's God's children among the Jews. The Apostle Paul said, I preach to them, and as when I speak to the Jews, I speak as a Jew. When I go to the Greeks, I speak as a Greek. I am designed to win them, and he's not trying to convince the dead to get alive. He's speaking to God's little children by the power of God, and he's telling them about the good things of the Lord, that they might have peace and joy and rest. Turns a light on there in the dark. And I'm telling you, there's a darkness in this world that'll cause you to be without hope and seemingly without help. And it isn't because that you don't have hope. It's because you can't see it. It isn't because the Lord isn't there. He's always there. How do we know he's there? He said so. And he's never told us anything that wasn't true. I might say, call me. I'll always answer. And you know that's not going to be right. Even if I want to, I'm going to mess up. And sometimes it's better off not to talk to me. But I'm telling you, you'll always get the exact right answer at the exact right time from the Lord. And he's working even when you and I have let loose. Even when you and I have given up. And he brings healing to homes. He brings healings to lives. Can you see in your life where he's brought healing? Can you see in your life where he's been there? Can you see his mighty hand? And it's been there from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You belong to him. You're his child. And you can call on him for help. And we want to live a life that honors and glorifies him. And he's the one who tells us how to do it. That's what that verse is all about when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He would have us not worrying tonight. Worrying is a sin. And we say, well, you know, all of us worry, and we do. But all of us sin, and we do. And there's forgiveness that's found in the Lord. But because we do it, should we just throw our hands up and say, well, there's nothing else I can do? No, when he's told us what to do. And I could just sit here tonight like I tried to tell him today, just stop worrying. And how much good does that do? I can tell you can sit there and say, I'm going to just stop worrying all you want to. You can say, I'm going to quit worrying on my own. I'm just going to stop doing it. And you'll see how long that lasts. It's just like saying, I'm just going to quit sinning on my own. I'm not going to do it anymore. You'll sin before you've already sinned because pride has got you. You're already speaking pridefully. Listen, there's only one way that you and I can walk free of the power and the dominion of sin in our lives, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I turn my life over and trust Him, there's no place for worry to be. When I'm trusting in a God who has all power, I've turned it over to Him, left it there. And you say, well, how can I turn it over to Him? He will give you the strength to be able to do that. He will give you the wisdom and the power and the ability to do that. He in the new birth has given you a regenerated soul that has a longing after the inner man to do that. And when you look to the Lord, you put on that shield, you carry that shield of faith, you put on that helmet of salvation, you have your loins girded about with the truth, you have the whole armor of God on, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you can go ahead trusting the Lord, knowing God said He's going to be with me. I know He will, because He does not lie. And my duty and my responsibility tonight is to tell that to you, every one of you, whatever age you are, the littlest one in here to the oldest one in here, this same truth fits your life. He hadn't changed. And you're in the middle of something in the middle of school and you don't know which way to go, you can look to the Lord and He will guide you and He will lead you and He will direct you. He'll give you the strength that you need to face what you've got to face. And listen, without Him, you and I are not smart enough to make it. Mom and Dad is not smart enough to make it. The preacher's not smart enough to make it. And the only benefit he's a servant. And the only time He can do you any good at all is when He shares what God's given to him and He reveals to him by faith He's given him, and then you're able to see it by faith. And that's what preaching is all about. He said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And tonight I can just say this, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are here at the front row. And when I go somewhere else, I want to be ready to preach the gospel to them. And you say, well, how can you preach the gospel? I want you to know the Apostle Paul could have never preached one single thing if God hadn't given it to him. That's why Paul said, don't think of me as anything but a servant. Paul said, don't be looking at any preacher as anything but a servant. That's why we as ministers ought to say every time when someone wants to get us up a little bit, we ought to say, give the Lord all the honor and the praise and the glory. I didn't choose to do this. The Lord has called me and given me a burden in my heart. Therefore, I'm not deserving of a reward. I am a servant. And what a servant gets is these words. When he's done what he's supposed to do, what does it say over in Luke 17? He says, I am a what? An unprofitable servant. I've only done that which was my duty to do. That's how much a preacher deserves in the way of pats on the back. Now, can you encourage them? Please encourage them. I love to hear encouragement. It helps. Don't lie to me, but when you can, encourage me. And even when I need it, especially when I haven't done so well. So I'll know now when y'all encourage me, I didn't do so well. But anyway, we need encouragement. Now listen, I shouldn't be there. Okay. We need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. But all the glory belongs to the Lord. All the praise and all the honor belongs to the Lord. He says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, we're not to be ashamed of Jesus. We're not to be ashamed to name Him and to say that's where I'm trusting. He's my everything. He's my chief joy. We're to rejoice in the Lord. What does that mean? That means I'm to be happy in Him above everything else. That should be the most important thing in my life. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Jeremiah wrote. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that we know and understand the Lord. And the reason we have that is by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That is, the gospel is the power of God. You know why you like hearing the gospel? Because it's the power of God. Because that doesn't just come out of man. It comes from God. It comes down from above. It is the power of God that teaches you. It's the power of God that moves you. And gospel preaching doesn't just happen when you're at church. It happens in the van. It happens as you're riding down the road. It happens on the telephone. It happens as we communicate with one another. We share the gospel. And gospel preaching is when we're talking about the Lord and giving Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And when the Lord takes one of His God-called ministers and allows them to share with you something that will let you see in the scripture what you could not see before. The glory and the honor and the praise belongs to the Lord. And he says, for therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. All we've talked about tonight is how good God is. That's the righteousness. You know how you and I'll ever get to heaven? We'll have to be made perfectly righteous in order to get there. I'm glad I don't have to do that for me. And I'm glad you don't have to do that for me. And I'm glad I don't have to do that for you. I'm thankful that that was done for us by the Lord, our righteousness. And the only righteousness you and I can even put on down here is that robe of righteousness that he gives us to wear called the breastplate of righteousness. And by the way, that whole armor of God, it's talking about Jesus. Every part of it. The hope of salvation is what? Jesus. You're to put that on your head. Your loins are girded about with the truth. What's the truth? Jesus. You're to wear it. Your feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's that? That's Jesus. And you're to carry the sword of the Spirit. What's that? That's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I know I haven't got the whole armor, but all... And by the way, when he said put on the whole armor of God, he also said put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's putting on Christ, who is our life. And therein is the gospel, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And then he says, the just shall live by faith. When is it that you and I are walking okay in this world? When are we all right in the sight of God? When we're covered in the blood of Jesus. The just shall live by faith, which means I'm trusting in Him. The faith He's given me, I'm using it, I'm dependent upon Him. He is my only hope of heaven. He is also my only hope of getting through today and tomorrow and every other day. I have to trust in Him. So when you don't know what to do, then you can say, well, what should I do right now? And look to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me right now. Without taking thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. You deal with it one step at a time. And you remember, Jesus will guide me as I look to Him. What we want Him to do is like what the children of Israel wanted to do. We wanted enough food just to, you know, with some of them tried to store up that manna that came down from heaven every day. And you know, when they did that, it spoiled, didn't it? Because they had to wait every day for that manna. They had to look to the Lord every day for that manna. Sometimes you and I wanted all the answers right now, don't we? I like to have this thing settled so I know exactly. You're not going to have it settled, but you're going to have, what are you going to have every day? Manna. You're going to have water that's supplied every day. You're going to have the wisdom that you need for each day. And why do we know that's the case? Because the Lord said, He will not leave us nor forsake us. That's good news. And that's something we're to share with God's people. That's the gospel. All of it gives the honor and the praise and the glory to the Lord. If you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. Wasn't as short as I thought it was.